Now, believe it or not, it's 4 weeks since George Floyd was killed by Derek Chauvin in Minneapolis. And since then, there's been loads of protests all over the world. And there's been loads of discussion in newspapers and radio and television about racism. We decided we'd have a more considered chat because there was a lot of knee-jerk reaction at the time. So we invited Dr. Eben Joseph back on the show. She spoke to us back in September. She's an author, intercultural consultant and creator of the first ever Black Studies model in UCD. Eben, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Ray. Thank you so much for having me back on again.
Yeah.
I'm not sandwiched between two people.
Thanks for talking to us from the comfort of your own home this time.
Yes.
So I heard you on Liveline just around the time of George Floyd's killing. And you were very exercised by the whole thing. On reflection now, and it's 4 weeks on and a lot has happened and there's been a lot of discussion, how do you feel now about what's happening in the world with regard to racism?
I think that even when I heard the way you introduced it, the way you've introduced this topic today is different from the way it would have been introduced before. You said the killing of George Floyd. We would not have heard that on our radios in Ireland or even in the US, you know. So now people are openly, you know, they won't be saying claimed, you know, all of those, you know, hedging around, it's all gone, you know. So even the language with which you presented this today for me has changed, you know. I am in two spaces, one very discouraged, but also extremely encouraged because the conversation has changed. Mm. When it first started, we started from a place where we were saying, it's in the US, it's not here, you know, it doesn't involve us, you know. So we were also, you know, having conversations whether Ireland could be racist or whether there is racism in Ireland. And I think in the last 4 weeks, we've just gone leaps and bounds. So while I'm discouraged that, you know, this is what we are having and this is the experience, but I'm extremely encouraged because the conversation has shifted. People actually want to know. People actually are learning. The top-selling books are on race and racism. So again, so in a good way, that is happening. But also, my worry is, you know, that it is, doesn't just end here with, you know, people feeling, oh yeah, we've talked about it and all of that. Mm. That so that in 10 years' time, in 20 years' time, we don't want to march again. We've marched already.
Yes, we heard people's testimony on Liveline, many people from Trey right through, all with story after story of racism. And I read an article, an interview you gave, and I'd never heard this before, but in Ireland, until you're 10, you're Irish, and then after that, you're black.
Yeah, you know, and if you just go online now, and I've been very disheartened, and I think that's why, you know, I'm saying I'm discouraged, but I'm also encouraged, you know, by the responses. There's been a lot of support and a lot of people wanting to learn. But it also meant that a lot of young people, we know this, you know, but for them, these young people have actually gone online, many of them on Instagram. They've actually put the names of the schools. They've actually put the names of their teachers. They've actually put the names of their colleagues, you know, from the, you know, like just their racist experiences that they've had within the schools. And so I'm just a little bit gutted, like, oh my God, we send kids to school. Most of these schools are fee-paying schools. We've sent them to schools to go and learn. And this is what they are going through. One of the young girls said, you know, I was so ashamed to be black in that class. I mean, I was like, oh my God, you know, because, you know, a teacher told them, you know, three black girls sitting together. Why are you sitting together? What would it look like if somebody came into the class and saw you like that? You know? And the students said that what they learned is that you have to have a white person beside you for you to be accepted. At such a tender age, when their identities are being formed, you know, so we create things, yes.
Eben, I was interested because a lot of talk about, you know, the history of slavery, and then what happened in Bristol there with the taking down the statue and all that. And, like, we're a different country, and I didn't see much chat or discussion about the origins of racism in Ireland, because we are a different country. And as I said to you when you were on the show before, up until 20 years ago, we were probably the whitest country in Europe. So although we may have been latently racist, we never encountered other races, so it never sort of became obvious. So what have you done in your studies about that? Because we don't have slavery in our history as a country.
Yeah, and again, and that's where, you know, information is key, education is key. That, you know, right now, the key thing we need to go back to is to go back and get some education, get some information. When we look at the notion of race, race was created. See, people, you cannot make race sound good. We cannot make race good. Race was created to separate groups of people. It was created to show that some people were inferior and that some people were that were superior. It was created to show white supremacy from the 17th century. So even when I teach, I don't teach about the slaves. I teach about the enslavement of people. And so that's where that even when the people who teach it, you know, makes a huge difference. And just a change in the word from slave to enslavement begins to show you a different understanding, you know, of the world and all the things that happened, yes, you know, around it. You know, so when we look at race, racism is built on race. The existence of race alone means that racism is every day, it is commonplace, and it continues to exist.
But races exist. There's a white race and there's a black race. Would you prefer that the word race didn't exist?
Actually, race doesn't exist.
Does it not?
You know,
it's a construct. Is it made up by somebody?
It's a construct, absolutely. You know, so when I'm teaching, you know, I'll tell the kids, I'm like, okay, look, I'm just going to say something very silly right now. Because on one hand, I'm going to tell you that race doesn't exist. And in the very same breath, I'm going to tell you that race exists. And so then we deconstruct that, what it means. Race doesn't exist because, you know, biologically, there is no difference.
Yes.
So it's not a scientific reality. However, races exist because the consequences, you know, of being categorized as different has both financial, economic, and social consequences on where you can and cannot go, what you can and cannot have, you know, and how people are treated. So on one hand, scientifically, races do not exist, but it is a social construct that changes across time and space. Yes. So the meaning of race in the United States is, while the foundation are all the same of race to separate and to show one group as inferior and another group as superior, but when you cross boundaries and when you cross time, the meaning of race begins to change.
Okay.
At one time, race meant that people could be enslaved. You understand?
Yes.
But in the 60s, you know, in the 50s, it meant you could not go to school and all sit in the same class or, yes, get on the same buses. But in the 70s, the meaning of race changed. So it changes with time and it changes with space.
And where are we at now then in Ireland in 2020?
I think we're in a good space. We're in a good space, but what will happen is what we do with it. So the key thing is for us to all remember that we all inherited this racist space that we are, black or white. So I hear some white people tell me that, you know, I'm like, no, we don't need anybody to be ashamed of my blackness or your whiteness. We don't need that. What we need is that we all inherited this racist spaces that we're in. The question is, what are you, what am I, what are we going to do with this racist space that we inherited? It's an inheritance. We got it.
So what do you suggest happens? I know you're doing webinars now on a Thursday night, and the first one was an all-black webinar, and then last Thursday you invited white people on.
Actually, the first one wasn't for all black, but the team, the panelists were all black.
Oh, sorry.
So again, yes. So the key thing, what we were saying is that, you know, you need to listen to us. So the first thing about walking through race is that you need to listen to the people who are impacted by it, you know? And so that is the very first thing you can do. If you actually want to be an ally, you want to be a friend, you want to take action, you're asking yourself, what can I do? You want to listen. Really important, you know, that there is benefit when we talk about our experiences of race and racisms. And there is also a benefit when people who have never experienced it, you know, or who've experienced it to different degrees, there is a benefit when they listen. So the first step is that people listen. So, you know, so my panel was all black, you know, so that they can talk about the experience and what they want, what they feel can be done, you know. So they were talking to people who were saying, I want to be an ally. So we had a really good attendance. I think we had about 330 people in that webinar, you know, and so that was brilliant.
And what,
so that for me shows,
what was the consensus then about what needs to be done?
I think key things that we talked about, you know, was just, you know, on an individual basis, number one, that people need to listen, you know, that when people tell you about that, you know, their experiences of race and racism, it's not an invitation for you to tell them how when you were, you know, this size, or, you know, how, you know, your experience about, you know, other discriminations, you know, that people talking about their experience of racism does not take away from ours. Yes. You know, people should listen. But it also means that, you know, we also begin to look at, you know, there are no hate crime laws in Ireland, yes, you know, so those key things that we need to put in place. We also talked about the fact that, you know, organizations and individuals, you know, need to ask themselves when we, is how we respond when somebody reports, you know, a case of racism. How do we treat it? How do we respond? You know, most times we make the victims, we victimize the victims. But the question I'm asking is, organizations and individuals need to ask yourself, what is it about my school? What is it about my office or our institution that makes it comfortable for this kind of racist behaviors, yeah, to occur? So really key thing. And I think one key thing which I really want people to hear me saying today is that when we talk about racism, that, you know, racist, we should focus more on racist policies and racist ideas and racist actions, because we are not permanent racist. Okay, there are a few permanent racists, a few, all right? But the thing is that we, you know, that racism, you know, we exhibit, it changes. We can be racist when it comes to direct provision and not be racist when it comes to the environment. We can be racist when it comes to Black people and not be racist when it comes to, you know,
yeah, but direct provision is, you've mentioned it there. Would you see that as sort of state racism?
Well, that is massive state racism. And the only reason it operates is because there are some racist policies that we have put in place. So to change direct provision, we need to question the policies that are maintaining direct provision. If we change the policies, what we have as direct provision today will change. Yeah. So it's the policies and that is maintaining it.
Well, in the new programme for government, if the new government is formed this weekend, there is provision to change direct provision. I'm interested to know, just back to Ireland as a sort of an island state with no history, direct history of slavery itself, is it a cultural import from you know, American literature, American TV? Is that where we get it from? I'm just wondering where.
Actually, we have history of slavery. We were enslaved. We moved from being enslaved in Ireland to become enslavers. If you look at the sugar plantations in the Caribbean, they were owned by Irish people.
Yes, of course, yes.
They were. And some of the monies that were sent back home to build our nation in Ireland came from those sugar plantations.
There you go. So I didn't know that.
So in other words, we're saying that we built some part, not all, but some part of our nation was built on the backs of enslaved Black people who were working in those sugar plantations. A lot of people have written, a lot of Irish historians have written about it. So there is a lot of, you know, material out there that shows that, you know, so we are benefactors. You know, don't forget that there is this automatic, you know, privilege that we get from whiteness, you know, and that's why when we talk about the Irish, when they went to the United States, you know, when the Irish became whites, you know, so as benefactors of whiteness, it automatically, what the enslavement of people did, you know, that elevated, you know, whites above Black. We as a nation, we are benefactors. So, you understand?
So yeah, and I do. I completely understand that. And education, and you say over and over again, is so important. And do you feel that the Irish educational system is geared towards teaching their pupils about race and about anti-racism?
I think that's my biggest fear. My biggest fear is that when we get into September, students are going to come to school very hungry. They will be asking questions about race and racism and structural racism. So my fear is that people who are unqualified, people who have no background, no knowledge, are going to be teaching flawed knowledge. So I am worried. So key things I'm saying is that, you know, if we, you know, the department has set up this anti-racism strategy, you know, that has no clear, you know, we have no direction on how those people were selected to be on it. The chairperson is someone who does not have a lived experience of racism. So we want to begin to look at how, from primary school, because we're teaching consent in schools. So the key things, I mean, I have a book coming out soon, and part of what I talk about in that book is how we teach, you know, how we manage difference. So I talk about acceptance, how we teach people to be accepting of difference. That's where we want to begin to start from. And it must start from primary schools.
It also starts at home.
Somebody's a manager. Absolutely.
It starts at home as well. And
absolutely. You know, and just to say that I really think, and if I will indict anybody here today, it will be our education system. Before I blame any individual, any young person, any manager, I will blame our education system.
Well, because in defense of the education system, and, you know, as I said, we were a predominantly white country up until about 20 years ago. So it wasn't a consideration.
But let me give you the scenario. Okay. Think about it. What are we doing right now? We want scientists. What are we doing? We're training scientists. We're training doctors. We're training lawyers. So what we cannot expect to have a nation of scientists if we don't train them. So we'll say we want anti-racist in Ireland. Yes. If we do not train you,
we have not trained
our managers to be anti-racist, they cannot be. So we're expecting parents to teach them from what? We've all learned from a dysfunction. We all inherited these racist spaces, you know? So if we don't unlearn it, we have to be taught so we can unlearn what we know. And then we do what we call active learning, you know? So we relearn, but from a good place. But our education system has to do that. Think about it. It is only educators. Yeah.
Before I let you go, Evan, have you engaged with people who troll you?
Oh, my God. I block people like every day. Like when I get from here now, at least I will have to block like 50 more people.
But
I have threats.
Is there anybody who will engage you in some sort of civil conversation or discussion? You know, people who come on and troll you on social media, if you, that expression that everyone's using now, if you reached out to them, would they engage you in?
No, they don't want to. So my trolls, I've personalized them. I'm having a relationship with my trolls. Oh my God, I'm sounding crazy now.
Yeah, Stockholm syndrome or some variation
Stockholm
of it.
Syndrome,
yeah,
I'm telling you. So the trolls who troll me, they are very special. They only come to challenge a few things. They don't want to hear what I'm saying.
Yes.
They actually don't. They are blocked. They don't want to hear, you know, because sometimes I actually try and engage. And then I'm engaging for money. I'm like, Evan, you're doing this thing. You're wasting your time. They don't want to listen. They just want to tell you what they want to say. Okay. So they want to tell me that, you know, Ireland gave me a good education. I'm like, really? If they're giving it to me, then they should share it out to everybody.
Yes.
So that's one thing they want to come and tell me. They want to come and tell me that I should be grateful for this education. But I'm like, you know, I did pay for it, right? I was working full time and studying at the same time.
Flawed arguments.
That's all. So they don't want to hear. Okay. They don't want to have a conversation.
Evan,
they just want to come and tell me what I should be grateful
when
for.
When this is over and you can come back into studio without putting yourself in harm's way, I'm inviting you now to come back in and we should have a round the table discussion about this maybe sometime in September. But for the moment...
Really, that would be nice.
Yes,
that would be really lovely.
Dr. Evan Joseph, thanks so much for taking our call and mind yourself
and
stay safe.
Thank you so much.
Bye now.
Thank
Bye.
You and you too. Bye. Thank Bye. You. Bye-bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.